Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby, live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This is indeed the broadcast for November the 21st in the year of our Lord, 2017. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Hope you're all doing absolutely fantastic. Wow, we got a lot of row to hoe today. Tons to discuss. Yesterday, we had our guest on Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org. We talked about the real cost of war. It's three times more than the government admits. According to a new study by Brown University's Watson Institute, the real cost of the U.S. war since 9/11, believe it or not, three times the Pentagon's estimate. It's $5.6 trillion. Suicides among veterans higher than ever. The incidence of divorce when one partner's in the political theater through the roof. The destruction of our liberty is one of the greatest costs of these wars in terms of surveillance, loss of privacy, etc. Think of the good that could have been done with the trillions that have been spent on killing, bombing, maiming, the destruction, and more. Anyway, incredible discussion about the evils of war. But we're ratcheting up more and more and more war as Donald surrounds himself with the hawkish generals of today. Stand strong for the Constitution. We talked about that incredible event that took place last Thursday in Utah. A Utah coalition doing a great job. The U.S. Constitution is not the problem, and a con or an Article 5 is not the solution. That wrapped up Hour 1. Lowell always does a phenomenal job. Hour 2, we had our guest on, Mr. Pete Santilli, thepetesantillishow.com. We talked about, is the Oregon standoff really about uranium? Alternative media vindicated in Uranium One Reports writes, Sherry, our good friend over at Readout News. Oregon shootout rooted in Clinton uranium trade. WorldNet Daily, WND.com. Will fired BLM agent Dan Love go to prison for his corruption? I doubt it. The insiders never get punished, really, do they? I hope that changes. Pete Santilli's absolutely right. We've got to have good, honest people stand up on the inside. And as soon as we do, we'll have accountability. And boy, is he spot on that reality check. Trump calls out Clinton on Russian uranium trade. Renews interest in documents discovered during the Malheur Wildlife occupation. That's right, Pete Santilli, the Bundys, and others found dealings with Clinton and uranium. And everybody tried to mock us and say we were just up in the night. It was crazy. But now Clinton called out on Russian uranium deal by President Trump. The documents found by Pete Santilli, the Bundys, and others come to the forefront. The mainstream press tries to say we're crazy, but more and more evidence coming out. The Clintons are front and center. The question is how Vladimir Putin grabbed a fifth of all U.S. uranium. John Rappaport writes the details, and even Donald claims that it's true. Wow, uranium's the real story here. Why isn't Donald getting to the bottom of this? Where's Ryan Zinke when you need him, huh? What on earth is going on here? It's a tragic story, to say the least. All right, that's a recap. Kurt Crosby's with me as news the networks refuse to use starts now. Hi, Kurt.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
You're very welcome, sir. Sometimes Kurt's very quiet during the interviews that I do, and I appreciate that. Not that I don't mind him talking a bit, but I like the guests to talk as much as possible. And, you know, Lowell did a great job, Hour 1, talking about the evils of war. Pete Santilli, number 2, talking about the Clinton ties to the uranium, Russian sales, etc., and how the Bundys and Pete Santilli and others are just caught in the middle of all that. You listened to both hours, Kurt, but you didn't get a chance to comment much. Do you have any comments on any of those interviews or the details there you want to make, points you want to make?
Well, I guess I would say this. First of all, I'm a fan of talk radio. Some people, occasionally I'll hear somebody say something like, well, I listen every day. And then I like to respond and say, well, I do too. Frankly, I'm grateful for the good guests. And of course, your insight, Sam. And so it's not really a hard thing for me to do. Plus, the nice thing is, the way it's set up, I typically have plenty to keep me busy anyway, whether I'm printing with the Patriot printing machine next to me or doing other things while I can listen. And so I don't find it painful at all. But I do remember listening, like you said, it's tough to find a better guest than Lowell Nelson and a better example of, what we believe is really the solution to America, and that is good citizens becoming involved, putting their hard-earned monies forward to make a difference. Lowell, it's very difficult to find someone that would do a better job at that, at least in my opinion.
Amen, no question about it. Not only is he willing to fund liberty, but he's articulate. He does his research. His topics are spot on. His understanding of and coverage relating to are just stellar every time, really, without exception.
Well, that's right. And I remember... thinking about when we first met him, for our family, it was when, I was doing the best I could to promote what was called homeschooling. Part of our family felt the need for our older children to go to some other schooling. And so I think he had a daughter at that time that was going to a private school, and so we were able to have one of our sons, I believe, at that time, ride with him and his daughter, daily to go to this school. And, that was my first, I think, introduction to him. And then later we found out the thing that drove him, or in other words, that pushed him into the whole freedom movement, was his fun interaction with the IRS. And I, those little things like that were basically, I guess you could say, things that we shared, started us off. And then we've just watched him. And man, every time there's something good going on, you'll find Lowell, if he's not right in the mix, he's right there by it and doing more good. And then you look at Pete Santilli, the unsung or the untold story, really, about this whole thing, and that Malheur Wildlife Refuge thing and all that, where we were right there, that day. And I think that was our first time meeting Pete, wasn't it, Sam, in person?
I think in person, yeah. I think we had talked to him several times and things like that, but I think it's the first time we actually met him in person, yeah.
And it was quite a day. Was very, you got to put it on your high memory list, with all the things that happened, with the different reports, New York Times, different stuff like that. You being in the front with the picture, I had a nice hat on, so it was a little easier for not being identified myself, but you didn't want to have a hat. Anyway, it was quite a time.
Pete lied and said that we were involved with the takeover. And see, the problem is that's kind of how Pete got, in my opinion, slaughtered by them, too. They acted like, as a journalist, he was part of the takeover. And see, I just disagree with that. I mean, I've got witnesses and phone calls between me and Pete. And Pete said, look, I'm not part of it. I don't agree with what they're doing. But I do want to make sure that we have a journalist that can report this so that the truth can come out. I mean, he literally said that. And I said, Pete, I'm not sure that it's wise to go in there. they're just going to wrap you up in the middle of it all. And I turned out to be correct, and I'm saddened by that. The reason that I bring all that up, though, is I'm convinced from the start he said he wasn't part of it. Kurt, he said clearly that I just want to make sure that we've got some fair reporting on the ground. And sadly, we feel like we have to get fair reporting on the ground. We feel like the mainstream press isn't honest enough to give these guys a fair shake. And so Pete wanted to do that, and he paid dearly for it.
And it was interesting to me to hear his report and his take and his feelings about solutions. I thought he did a very good job on the program. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, you can hear the audio archives. I suggest you do it. I mean,
LibertyRoundtable.com. Back in seconds, Sam and Kurt on your radio.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Ladies and gentlemen, what is the KQ? You know, the kosher question. Most Americans purchase their groceries while having no idea that almost every essential food product on the shelves is certified kosher by one of over 1,000 rabbinical agencies across the country. Indeed, the kosher question encompasses not only food and religion, but also affects our economics and politics. In an effort to promote awareness to this kosher question, developers have recently published an app for your smartphone that will not only educate users on this little-known phenomenon, but also features a database of food products that have not been kosher certified. The Kosher-tified app has prominent advertisement on TPC's homepage, or you can check out its website at kosher-tified.com. Wouldn't it be prudent to start eating in favor of your own interests? The Kosher-tified app will be your start. Download it now at kosher-tified.com. That's KOSCHERTIFIED.com.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, we're back to discussing the Roy Moore issue. And I know some of our listeners are thinking, you know what, Sam, this is getting kind of old and kind of boring. But as I mentioned to you, you know what? It's between now and the 12th. Of December for election. So we've only got, what, 3 weeks or a little longer left? And all I can tell you is they are pulling out all the stops to stop Roy Moore from becoming the next senator from Alabama. And we really need to stand up for Roy Moore. By the way, as you know, I wrote an official endorsement of Roy Moore. I stand by that endorsement. And I got a hold of Roy Moore's campaign yesterday, left him a voicemail. I'm waiting for somebody to get back to me. But I also contacted the, what's it called? It's Moral Law, the Foundation for Moral Law, which, by the way, used to be, the president used to be Roy Moore. Now, Kayla, which is Roy's wife, is the president of the Foundation for Moral Law, Kurt. And so I reached out to a gal there named Jessie. And I gave them my written endorsement, and I said, hey, I'd love to have Kayla on the air. We can talk about the importance of moral law and how, you know what, Donald Trump wants to make America great again, but we really need to make America moral again if we really want to make America great again. And I wanted to talk to her about that. I don't really want to cover the latest scandal in detail just because, Kayla is going to defend her husband. She's going to stand on what she believes. Her critics are going to continue to criticize her. And I guess I'm just saying I don't want to badger her with that. I'd like to take her time on how to build morality in America, personally. In the meantime, though, the mainstream press has taken a beating, Kurt, by Roy Moore. And what happens is whenever they find an attack on Roy Moore, they cover it to ob nauseum. But whenever the tide turns in favor of Roy Moore, they seem to drop it like a rock. And what you got is an epic battle with the women of America over this issue. Headline says, liberal media debunked. Roy Moore was never on a mall ban list. So the mainstream press came out and said, look, you know, Roy Moore's such a predator. He walked around the malls in the 80s and tried to pick up on little girls, and they even had to ban him from the mall. Well, that's now been proven completely, absolutely, unequivocally false, Kurt. It isn't true. And the mainstream press not really reporting that change. They love the attack, but, and again, then Roy Moore says, I'll sue you guys if you don't tell the truth, and the mainstream press just laughs at him. You can't sue us. We can say anything we want about you, and courts back that up, by the way, unfortunately. Anyway, Roy Moore's campaign released a, I don't know what to call it, but a blow-by-blow detail about these witnesses, about what they claim, and about people who contradict their stories. Again, zero evidence. It's a he said, she said, what do the friends say, what do the enemies say discussion at this point, but Roy Moore is forced to defend himself. And here's some of the details we got, Kurt.
Yep, this piece, of course, comes right from the campaign. It says the Moore
campaign.
They
call it Team Moore, Kurt, by the way, and I'm on Team Moore, by the way, is why I bring it up. Yeah, we need to build these teams, these coalitions for solutions, and Team Moore is one of them that I'm proud to be part of, folks.
Mm-hmm. It says the Moore campaign is committed to presenting factual truths to the people of Alabama. I think not just the people of Alabama, but everybody, I think.
That's right.
And looks forward to victory on December 12th. And so it says, here's the latest. Headline reads, Nelson's story busted. Liberal media fails to report the truth.
Are you surprised?
On their headlines. Yeah. No, I'm not at all, Sam. But it says, Dateline Gadsden, Alabama. On Monday evening, the Moore campaign unveiled statements from key witnesses that completely bust the story of Beverly Nelson and Gloria Allred and further reveal an unconscionable bias on the part of state and national press to hide the truth from Alabama voters, who will undoubtedly see through the fake news and elect Judge Moore for the man that they have always known him to be. It goes on and says, according to a former waitress, Old Hickory House required employees to be 16 years old. Nelson claims she was 15 when she started. According to two former employees, the dumpsters were on the side of the building. Nelson claimed that they were in the back. Old Hickory House sat right off of the four-lane highway and had a wraparound porch with lights all around it. Nelson claimed that the surroundings were dark and isolated. Rhonda Ledbetter, who worked at Old Hickory House for almost 3 years, states that the earliest it closed was at 11 p.m., but she believes it was open until midnight. She's certain it did not close at 10 because Goodyear was next door and employees came to eat when their shift ended at 10 p.m. Nelson claims her story occurred after the restaurant closed at 10 p.m. It is unlikely that there was an entrance from the back of the parking lot, which Nelson claimed existed. Multiple sources have claimed that everyone parked on the sides of the building because there wasn't much room behind the restaurant. According to Rhonda, not enough room to turn around. Renee Chivera stated that a neighborhood backed up to the parking lot and it was adjacent to the backyards of people's houses, so she did not see how there would have been a back entrance as it would have gone through someone's yard. Nelson claimed that Judge Roy Moore came in almost every night and sat at the counter, but former employees state that customers at the counter were served by the bartender or short order cook. not served by the waitresses, and had no reason to interact with the wait staff. Additionally, two former waitresses and two former patrons state they never saw Judge Moore come into the restaurant. These witnesses have shared their
testimony. Let me stop you there for a quick second, Kurt. This is a serious problem when you literally have multiple witnesses saying, look, we worked there and we never saw Moore there. And then she's saying he was there every night. Okay, there's just so conflicting in terms of their narrative that it's beyond imagination. She says the place was totally dark. They're saying, what are you talking about? Man, it was right off a big highway. It had a wraparound porch. There was lights all around it. I mean, these could not be more conflicting. But here's the problem. The mainstream press will just tell the tale. And now that we have more, you know, conflicting evidence, none of these witnesses are even being interviewed or discussed or anything, which just shows the agenda of the mainstream press in bed with those who are not being honest. Okay, you can't have it both ways. Either there was no room behind the restaurant or there was. Either there was a wraparound porch and lights all around or not. Either it's, you know, sits off of a very well-known highway, you know, big or not. Either it closed, you know, at 10 o'clock and it was really closed or not. But the idea, though, that even if, and let me just say this, even if the dumpsters were behind the restaurant, as she claims, and even if there was a back door there, you really think right after the teenage girl gets off at 10 o'clock, and you know most likely other people are still cleaning up and taking out the trash and doing things, would you really drive behind the restaurant and be involved there when you know very likely people are finishing up at the restaurant and could be taking out trash? What I'm saying is it's a nonsensical effort in the first place, even if all of our story is true. But it turns out all the facts or the details of the stories are being challenged here, almost every one of them. Go ahead, Kurt.
Very good, Sam. And it's as you said, you know, all these facts, I mean, they get in the way of a good story, though. You know, and it goes on, it says, Rhonda Ledbetter, a retired public school teacher who is currently the senior choir director at a Baptist church and teaches children at a local church-sponsored daycare center, was a waitress at Old Hickory House for almost 3 years, from 77 to 79. She was a college student at Jacksonville State University at the time and worked varying shifts at different times a day, multiple days a week during the time of her employment. She said in a statement, quote, when I heard Beverly Nelson's story, there were several details that were different from what I remember. I was nervous at coming forward because of all the attention this story has gotten. But as a moral and ethical person, I had to speak up about what I know to be true. I was a waitress at Old Hickory for almost 3 years, from 77 to 79, and I never saw Roy Moore come into the restaurant, not one time.
And this girl said in November 77 is when the yearbook thing happened, right? Or, I'm sorry, in December, right before Christmas or whatever. All I'm telling you is, who's telling the truth, folks?
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens. Pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is, again, the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
With news the networks refuse to use. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
Liberal media getting debunked at every turn, but the problem is they just continue to lie. So one news outlet, first off, most of them aren't even covering Roy Moore's release here, like we are. But one outlet did cover it, but said, oh, a bunch of unnamed witnesses contradict this Nelson lady's story. Unnamed witnesses? Rhonda's name is right there, Kurt. I don't know what they're talking about. But again, all they got to do is say that, and by the time people figure out, it'll be too late, right? Or they'll be like, oh, huh, we saw a copy of it that didn't have the witnesses. Sorry about that. And they'll just do that, right? Or they'll change no-named witnesses to few-named witnesses. Or they'll just do something goofy to just kind of perpetuate their lies, their disingenuous coverage, Kurt.
Wouldn't it be nice if they just put the thing out there like it was written?
Well, they did that for her statements, the quote, girl statement,
I mean.
Of course, but not Roy's. They just kind of write about it. But anyway, it continues, and this is so important. I just don't know how to cover this any better than letting Roy speak for himself via this written campaign release. Right, Kurt?
Yep, that's right. So we're reading the part where this one waitress who, you know, she's basically contradicting what was said because she says, hey, while she worked there from 77
to 79. But hold on, let's be clear. She is named. Her name is Rhonda.
That's right. Well, it even got a last name, Rhonda Ledbetter, who, you know, this paper, this report says a retired public school teacher who is currently the senior choir director at a Baptist church and teaches children at a local church-sponsored daycare center. She's not exactly... I guess you could say the same caliber of individual as when you look into the details of these other people's stories, right, Sam? At least based on my reading here of who she is. And she says that she doesn't remember. She says, I never saw Roy Moore come into the restaurant. Not one time. And she says, I would have noticed because most of our customers weren't wearing suits, especially not at night.
Hold on. Let me stop you there, though. See, these are details that you really can't argue with. You're telling me that a guy that comes in a suit that sits at the same spot all the time, and she's like, you know what? It wasn't. Now, who would remember? A little girl that's, by the way, too young to work there? We'll get into this, but they claim that, you know, you got to be 16 to work there. She claims she started when she was 15. Others are saying that's not even possible. But who do you believe? A little girl that's you know, on alcohol and drugs and a suicide attempter? Or this lady that's a waitress, that's a school teacher, that's in the, you know, Christian church, that's a choir member or a leader, and she's basically going, look, that isn't the way I remember it. Look, somebody would have stood out like a sore thumb with our kind of crowd here, you know, every night in a suit. Come on. Okay, it just doesn't even stand to reason. But the mainstream press is so tied up in their agenda, Kurt, so tied up. And they even now say, well, we should have been against Bill Clinton, which we'll get into next hour. We should have been against Bill Clinton back in the day for his snafus. The problem is they're not even against Bill right now, Kurt. They're defending Bill, and I'll explain how. There's multifaceted levels of how deep this goes. Continue.
Mm-hmm. She continues with her statement, says, many customers worked at Goodyear next door and would stop in on their way to and from work, and I don't remember anyone from the courthouse coming in at all. That just wasn't our crowd. A few things stuck out to me. First, Nelson said she was 15 years old when she started working there, but you had to be 16. I don't remember her from my time there, and I don't remember any 15-year-olds working there at all. Second, Nelson said the restaurant closed at 10 p.m., but I know the earliest it closed was 11, though I believe it was midnight. I'm certain of that because Goodyear employees came in to eat after their shift ended at 10 p.m., so there's no way we would have closed at that time. Third, the area wasn't dark and isolated, as she described. Rather, the building was right off the busy four-lane highway, and people and cars were always around. The restaurant had a wraparound porch, like the ones at Cracker Barrel restaurants, and there were lights all around the sides of the building, so it wasn't dark and anyone in the parking lot was visible from the road. Fourth, the dumpsters were to the side of the building, not around back, and there sure wasn't room to park in between the building and the dumpsters. People from the kitchen would take trash out of the side door and throw it right into the dumpsters. We were always told to park on the side of the building because there just wasn't much room behind it. I don't remember there being an exit from the back of the parking lot. There would barely have been enough room to turn a car around. She continues, she says, I came forward because from what I've seen, the media is only interested in reporting one side of this story. In fact, Dixon Hayes from WRBC in Birmingham asked for former employees to contact him, but never responded when I told him. I never saw Roy Moore come into Old Hickory House during the 3 years I worked for. Two other news outlets in the state asked to interview me, and I agreed, but neither one has aired my interview, and I have to wonder why they don't think the people of Alabama deserve to hear anything that counteracts the accusations against Judge Moore. It's not for me to say whether or not something happened. I can only tell the truth about factual details that I know for sure. I think all Alabamians deserve to have all the facts so they can decide for themselves what the truth is. Despite what the national media and people in D.C. might say, Alabama voters are intelligent and have common sense. We don't need anyone to tell us how to vote or to explain to us what really happened. We will make that decision, and I just wanted to do my part in sharing the truth on some of these important facts. I, like all Alabama voters, want any and all information that can shed light on the truth. The piece from the George Moore or Team Moore campaign continues. It says Johnny Bellew, Sr., is a former police officer with over two decades of experience with the Etowah County Sheriff's Office and the Gadsden Police Department. He said in a statement, I was an officer with the Etowah County Sheriff's Department in the 70s. which means I worked in the courthouse and I knew who Roy Moore was since he was the deputy district attorney at the time. I was a regular customer at Old Hickory House, and I never once saw Judge Moore come in there. If he had, I would have immediately recognized him. I also never met Beverly Nelson during any of the many times I frequented the restaurant, and I can't say that she even worked there.
So now you got a cop that's saying, I went there all the time, I never saw Roy there, I never even knew this girl worked there, if she did at all. Okay, things just don't make sense. Now, it's possible that the cop never saw this one waitress or whatever, but I'm just saying, I mean, she made it sound like she was there every night. You know, she said Roy went in every night, sat in the same spot. This guy, this cop, why would this cop lie? What motive does he have? Why would this school teacher, this Christian lady, lie? And why would the mainstream press reach out to say, we want people who worked at this Old Hickory? Then she steps forward and none of them are willing to touch her story? Why, Kurt? Because they have an agenda. It's clear. Now, I'd like to get Rhonda on the radio, but it just takes so much time to track down all these people. I don't know how the mainstream press does it. Maybe got some secret databases of all of us that I don't know about. But, man, they just seem to have such an easy time getting a hold of people. But I'd have to struggle to get a hold of Rhonda. What's her name? Rhonda what?
Let's see. I'll go back up in this piece. Oh, Ledbetter.
Rhonda Ledbetter. See, I'm gonna have to try to find Rhonda Ledbetter of Alabama, right?
Well,
it's hard
to do
this stuff, Kurt.
And
it
what
takes
she
a ton
says
of time.
That she was talked to by these different entities and even interviewed, but she says, hey, I haven't heard or seen any of the reporting that, you know, they have from those interviews. And,
Kurt, I understand that CNN and a lot of the liberal rags, the Washington Post, and some of these places that have perpetuated these lies, they don't really want to interview or get egg on their face. I get it. But what about a Sean Hannity that was so vocal? Hey, Roy, you better, throw down the gauntlet and explain this in great detail in 24 hours or you're done. What about a guy like Sean, Kurt? Where's Sean when you need him the most, Kurt?
Well, at least I don't see much reporting about it, Sam. It's sad.
Come on now, Sean. See, all right, we're going to continue because there's more witnesses. Those are two very credible witnesses. They're people with long, well-known, stable careers. Credible people that have no motive to lie. What motive does this cop or this school teacher, Christian lady, what motive do they have in this? You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today.
We fought, we learned, we struggled, we won. Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, we continue with Roy Moore coverage, debunking all the details that these supposed sexual victims claim. Rhonda Ledbetter is one. This police officer, what's his name, is another, Kurt. And they literally not only say, hey, the mainstream press is lying on this, these girls are not telling the truth, and we can't get our word out because the mainstream press won't even listen to our stories. Isn't the narrative strikingly similar to everything we've seen over the last 25 years, Kurt?
It sure is, Sam. I mean, I think one of the first times was back in 92 when we were participating in what's a local presidential election where the candidate was actually in our area and that kind of thing. And I remember being at the event and then later reading or looking at the report of the event and thinking, wow, I was there. That's not the way I remember the story, you know. And ever since then, you kind of get the blinders taken off, you know, when it comes to the media. Anyway, the piece from Team Moore continues. Renee Chivera of Huntsville, Alabama, stated, quote, I was a waitress at the Old Hickory House during the summer of 77 before my senior year of high school. When I heard Beverly Nelson's story, the first thing that stuck out to me was that I don't remember Roy Moore ever coming into the restaurant. I also don't remember her working there. The other thing that struck me as odd is that, from my best recollection, the dumpsters were to the side of the building. I just know they were visible from the road and not back behind the building. But the main thing is that if someone came in almost every night, we knew who, they were, and I never saw Roy Moore there. As a Christian woman, I wouldn't lie for anyone, and I'm only sharing what I know because it's the truth. The days of unbiased reporting are over. This is the end of her statement was, it's the truth. Quote says, the days of unbiased reporting are over, Moore campaign strategist Brett Doster said. The liberal media will dodge any source and refuse to air any interview that doesn't square with their effort to land a liberal Democrat in the Senate seat. The Moore campaign is committed to presenting actual or factual truth to the people of Alabama and looks forward to victory on December 12th, end quote. So,
yeah, her former name was Rhonda Kaiser, Kurt.
Okay.
And she's a Moore supporter.
Yeah.
We got to be fair about that. But, you know, there's a lot of disputing of the details. Ledbetter said she's skeptically the account for several reasons. Anyway, weird stuff. The girl said she started when she was 15. There's all these inconsistencies. How come nobody's calling out the other inconsistencies? Now listen to this carefully. There's mainstream press reporting on this, and they say this. Roy Moore reached out to WHNT News. It's News 19, and they've worked for 3 days to verify Ledbetter's employment. They spoke with her sister, who also claims to have worked there in the summer of 1977. We also talked to one of Ledbetter's friends who did say she was an employee. However, we have been unsuccessful in confirming her employment outside of those two. We haven't been able to reach the former owner. Ledbetter said they paid the employees in cash. I don't think there'd be any records to see if we worked there. I just think all those records are probably gone, Rhonda explains. Now, They say that they heard that Ledbetter's an actress. She's been in some Christian films. Now, here's what I find interesting, Kurt. Did they say that they verified Nelson's employment, Kurt? That's the funny thing. See, they dig into details.
I don't remember that.
Which I'm fine digging into the details. Don't get me wrong. But they said they had to spend 3 days finding out about Ledbetter, and they can't verify that she was employed. But did they do the same for this 15-year-old Nelson girl? All right.
Well, apparently not, Sam. If they can't even find the owner now, they wouldn't have found him before, right?
Well, that's the problem. See, Kurt, all this stuff has holes. They run to these stories without doing their due diligence when they want to. When they want to do the due diligence to shut somebody down, they try. Now, what's fascinating about this is I know this firsthand, Kurt. They've done a lot of attacks on me. No one's ever called me to verify, to get my take, to do the due diligence necessary. They just attack me without doing anything. And then when I call them on it, they're like, oh, well, we didn't really have time before we went to press, or they have some lame excuse. It's very weird. But that's what they're doing, Kurt. So they could find out her maiden name. They can find out all kinds of things. But they, and what about the employees? What about this cop's story? Even if you say Rhonda's confused, what about the cop that verifies her story, Kurt? The problem is when they dig deep, they only do it one way. And then they cast doubt on things that they don't know. Man, we've looked for employment for 3 days. We can't really verify it. Okay, but then you got to ask those questions. What about Nelson? All right, are there any other witness accounts in this, Kurt?
No, we read through them all, at least of the ones that I've got there. Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, they never asked the next question. Does the sister say that Rhonda's story is true? And did the sister, who worked there as well, know this other girl? See, they don't say any of those things either, Kurt. So they fail, in my opinion, miserably about tying these things together. Now, Rush Limbaugh, who I don't usually give credit to, but in this case he deserves credit, Kurt. Rush Limbaugh informed his listeners that the attacks on Roy Moore were an orchestrated hit job by Mitch McConnell and the Republican establishment. Wow. It's a multifaceted search and destroy mission, Limbaugh said. So,
you know, it's interesting to hear Rush Limbaugh talk about the establishment when, you know, at least in my opinion, there's been a lot of times in his career where he would have been, I think, basically the mouthpiece for the establishment. You've even outlined that where, you know, did he call himself a water boy?
Yeah, he admitted he was the water boy of the Republican Party, but he said no more. Now, I don't know if that's true. Okay. All I'm telling you is interesting stuff. Now, but yep. You know what? Even Rush Limbaugh is saying, you know what? This is a hit job. Now, what's fascinating too, Kurt, is the three biggest newspapers in Alabama have a message for their readers. Quote, stand for decency. Reject Roy Moore. And you know who peddles that? No other than CNN. So you got the three largest papers and CNN all together rejecting Roy Moore instead of looking at this, you know, contrary evidence that would clear Roy Moore's name. They don't have time for that. One group had to work 3 days and can't verify anything. But man, they just interviewed and got all the details on Nelson's story. They documented that 66 ways from Sunday. Now, they don't say they did that. They just leave you to believe they did that by not saying it, right? All I'm telling you is it's scandalous. Now, Kurt, As you look into this, as you look on the news, do you see any stories where people are fairly covering the points Roy Moore makes and asking any of these girls or any of their attorneys to account for the inconsistencies in their stories now? Besides us, I don't see anybody, Kurt. What happens if you type two words into Google? I'm just going to type in Roy Moore. Right? Am I going to get any stories that defend Roy? Or that even bring up this new evidence? Roy Moore Wikipedia. All right, they talk about Gloria's refusal to turn over the yearbook for examination. Roy Moore claims it's a forgery, and they can prove it if a third party takes custody of that yearbook. All right. You got to go to Twitter to get some of the details. Now, the liberal media, and the there's three people who worked at the mall that contradict the story. Wow. Do you see anything, Kurt?
I can read you the ones I see, but I don't see any Judge Moore. I don't see any of them talking about these sources that we just read through.
Now, one hopeful piece is this. It says Kellyanne Conway, you know, she kind of works for Trump, right?
Yeah.
Kellyanne Conway on Roy Moore. We want the votes for the tax bill. In other words, hint, hint, we expect and hope he'll get elected.
Mm-hmm.
There you have it.
Yeah, here's some of the different ones I see. New York Times, every other terrible thing about Roy Moore. I mean, how do you get worse than that? I mean, wow.
It just goes downhill from there. But CNN and the three top newspapers in Alabama all literally picking sides in this election. He who owns the media makes the rules, folks. I don't know how to make it more clear than this hour examples. Next hour, we're going to talk about the double standard. Bill Clinton hanging out with Jeffrey Epstein, or whatever that guy's name is, literally with underage girls on airplanes. Why aren't we bringing that up? We can't say that we're going to leave Bill's past to Bill's past because it's more recent than Roy Moore's. And much, much more documented and credible. We'll talk about it. LibertyRoundtable.com. This nation shall endure.